This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here we go, another hour of the Dave Glover Show with Bob Ramsey and Mike Claiborne filling in for Dave and company this afternoon on a Friday. Hopefully your Thanksgiving was a good one, that you had a chance to have a great time with family and friends, a good meal, sleep it off. Now you're out shopping, which brings me to this. Shopping. You like it?
No. I like buying, but I don't like shopping.
Now, do you and your wife shop together? Do you ever? Okay.
No. Nope.
See, I think that's a good move.
Yeah.
I've done that on occasion, but my patience level isn't where it needs to be.
Not interested. You know, I'll tell you what. She's not interested in me being there even more.
Because they feel the pressure.
Know.
They feel it, and they like look over at you, okay, we're ready to go. And then they make a big deal about you being upset, and
and
it just it doesn't go well.
It's a death spiral.
It is. It does. It has. So you're not a guy, do you go to the mall on your own, or do you shop online?
If I go, I haven't bought anything in so long. I don't know. Is the mall still open?
I think the EJ Corvettes one, the one EJ Corvettes is at. I think that's, I'm not sure if that one's open anymore. I'm just saying, I know I lost everybody with that. EJ Corvette, what the hell is he talking about? And you know what, though? Malls back then were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. I mean, I'm one that.
I grew up in Northwest Plaza.
Yeah, I was River Rose guy.
River Rose.
Yeah, I could take the bus out there. Northwest Plaza, that was tall cotton for me, man. You get to Northwest Plaza, they had more stores. And
open then, air.
Yeah,
was,
exactly. You know, pick up some chicks, you know, hey, good looking, where you going?
No question.
Yeah, I mean, that was the spot. Do kids still convene in the mall to meet each other? I don't know. I'm not a kid anymore, so I don't know. I see a lot of seniors walking around.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get their steps in, but I don't know if kids still convene to meet those of the opposite sex and, you know, whatever happens after that. Maybe go to movies or something.
No, they don't go to the movies.
Well, that's right. They don't. They stay at home.
Let's go sit outside and watch something on my phone.
Gifts. Do you buy gifts or do you leave your wife in charge of that?
We strategize and then figure it out from there. It depends. It's just getting it done is the main thing.
Gift or gift card?
Don't gift card very often. Certainly for family and that sort of thing. It's been done.
Yeah. I think certain people that I know, I would give a gift card to compared to, you know, them, you know, trying to shop for them. And I'm a hard person to shop for.
Me too.
You know, so I just tell my kids, just give me a gift card, you know, that'll be fine. I don't need another tie. I don't need any more socks.
I'll tell them, go buy me a book.
I used to give my kids books.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it worked out, but I used to give them books. Now I just give them money. That's all they want. You know, just give me the money, man.
Right.
You know, but gift cards I have given more to. Now, my significant and I we're not big gift givers. You know, I was kind of, my dad was kind of the guy who said, look, man, if you want to buy yourself something, don't wait for a day on the calendar to buy it. If you can afford it, you can buy it then. Don't worry about a certain day on the calendar. And that's the kind of way I've always approached it. And she's kind of the same way, so, you know. But I did remember when it was her birthday, we went to dinner. And because she wasn't supposed to be here, but she decided to stay, so we went to dinner. It was a nice late dinner, and it turned out okay.
For us, Christmas morning was always the biggest deal, and I guess I've carried that forward. Mm-hmm. Just trying to, you know, have every possible gift under the tree. The more, the merrier. Make it look like, Toys R Us had an explosion in your living room.
The truck got lost and backed into our living room.
Now the kids are older. My oldest is a grown-up, and my daughter's in college, and my youngest, he's 17. And so I think those days are over.
Yeah, and you know what? When they're over, I think it affects the parents more than it affects them.
No, I agree.
I mean, when it was over for me, I was like, well, damn.
What do we do now?
Exactly. Maybe they're home, maybe they're not. Nobody gets up on time. You know, they remember when you were younger, hey, everybody's up. Everybody's up. Now it's like, hey.
Here's the transition. And I got to go back and figure out what year it was. But it used to be the kids waiting for us to get up.
Yes.
At six or
true.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then at some point it changed. We got to
wait for them to get up.
We got to call them.
And maybe they're coming in from the night before. I'm like, well, yeah, there's something wrong with this.
It's really flipped.
All right. Your favorite gift as a kid. The one memorable gift you had.
You go first because I hadn't thought about this topic. I'll have to kind of go over it in my mind here a little bit.
I think I had, and I saw it in the Sam's, a modern version of the Johnny 7. Remember that Johnny 7? It was seven guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw one in the Sam's the other day, and I told Lori, I said, yeah, it's a Johnny 7. It was just a little bit more modern, but it was the same one I had eons ago. And I got a pair of, remember when the Blues used to have blue skates?
Mm-hmm.
I got a pair of blue skates.
Mm.
Went out to Steinberg, and I wasn't getting anywhere, right? And I realized, I didn't know they needed, I thought they already came sharpened.
Oh, yeah.
that skate guard looked at me and said, hey, there's something wrong with you. What's wrong with your skates? I said, these are brand new. He said, well, let me see. And he raised them up, and, you know, obviously there was no edge to him whatsoever. He said, I think you might want to get these sharpened. I said, sharpened? What are you talking about? So that was, I remember those skates like they were yesterday.
I guess two things from Mattel. The
Winchester.
The Colt 45.
Yeah.
You know,
I had one of those.
The Peacemaker Colt.
Yes.
And then
with the caps.
Yeah.
Remember had the shells with the caps.
And then the Mattel Thompson.
I had one of those too.
Yeah, of course you did.
You had to roll the caps.
Yeah.
See, that was a really good. Nothing like having a good gun as a kid for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So now
how are you going to play otherwise? With a stick?
Now we've taken it to another level where, you know, instead of giving your kid a cap gun, now you give him an actual gun and say, here, go out and play.
No, we don't want to have that going. Please
but,
not.
Yeah, the Thompson, probably for kids our age or and just maybe a little younger, maybe the most prolific military weapon you could ever have. That and a camouflage helmet. Because everybody wanted to be Vic Morrow.
Yeah.
You know, that was the coolest gun.
Mike just made a 50-year-old reference,
by the way,
star of the television show Combat.
One of the greatest.
Okay, we can continue.
Yeah, one of the greatest actors ever that never got the credit for it. Now, you know, his daughter is Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah.
So the story is when he died, didn't leave her a quarter. Maybe something happened in between. I don't know. Hmm. But yeah, and what a gruesome passing.
For those who don't know, Vic Morrow had his head cut off in a movie.
Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone movie by a helicopter as they were filming a Vietnam scene. Okay.
So,
a couple of archaic references. We got them, though.
Lost on everybody but us, and that's all that counts right about now. So here's the deal. As you and I, we're the kind of guys when we go to an event or a party or whatever, somebody can bring something up and we'll say, oh, yeah, well, let me tell you the history about that. This is kind of
then they fall asleep.
Yeah, this is kind of new for my girlfriend, right? So yesterday,
yesterday,
I'm with her kids, grandkids, their wives and girlfriends, and when something would pop up, I say, hey, you know the story, you know the backstory. And she's like, oh God,
here we go.
So the first time she kind of nudged me to make me shut up, and She just kind of warned everybody. I should have told you all about this guy. You know, he knows a little something about. I know just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah,
but not enough to be an expert.
Well, we're the guys that when you're on a trip, you'll stop and look at all the historical markers and read them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you can take a picture of them, read them again when you get in the car.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I have some of these on my phone right now. All right. Coming up here in just a bit, Dave Murray is going to visit with us. You got some weather information to share with him, or some questions for him as well?
I'll come up with something.
Well, I mean,
he's a well-rounded man, though. You know, he can talk to us about the movies.
He's a made guy. Yeah, he's a made guy. You know, for as many years as he's been in the business, and truly a well-respected meteorologist, but a person as well. And I've heard him on with Dave for a number of years, but we watched him on TV for so many years. Trustworthy, I think, is what I would say.
No question.
You know, here's why I like Dave Murray compared to some of these other jokers. Dave doesn't have an excuse when he kicked it or when it didn't come true. You know, like you have some people, well, we're going to have 16 inches of snow tonight. Now everybody goes out and buys bread and milk and we barely get a shower. And then the next day they come up with some lame excuse.
That dome of high pressure didn't move.
Right.
You're supposed to predict that.
That's your job, man. You get 3 minutes to get it right. You know, so, but Dave was always an honest person and I always appreciated him. The ones we have now, don't even get me started on. So anyway, we'll have Dave Murray coming up here in just a bit. And in 4:35, Jeff Rainford is going to tell us how you and I can apply to get some of this $550 million from the Rams lawsuit. I think we'd
deal
do
me
something.
In.
I think we should get something out of it.
I just want to be dealt in.
I just want. What would be an acceptable amount if they decided we're going to pass out some checks?
7 digits.
7? That's all, huh?
That's all.
Okay. You weren't that big of a fan anyway.
Right.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some updated scores on some things. Missouri is at the half. The Blues, what's their status over
still
there?
Still 2-1?
Still 2-1?
Yeah, they're 2-1 in intermission. 2-1 intermission.
After two periods of play. So we've got there's your sports right there. Weather
and
coming.
A huge college basketball upset.
Huge today.
Dayton beat Kansas.
Dayton beat Kansas in, what was it? Where was that tournament held? It wasn't at KU. It was at Disney World, I believe. I think it was at Disney World. Anyway, Kansas got beat today, so that's always good. We'll take a break. We'll come back after this. .419 on a Friday afternoon, the day after Thanksgiving. Dave Glover is off today along with crew. Bob Ramsey, Mike Claiborne filling in. And one of the mainstays of the Dave Glover Show is a person that we've always admired from a distance. It's a pleasure to visit with Dave Murray this afternoon. Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I listened to the last segment. Can I join this old guy's party?
Please do.
We have a seat right here waiting for you. Hey, Dave, we're just trying to amuse ourselves, man. If anybody else buys into it, then good for them. But if not, we'll be okay.
Hey, I bought into it. I'm fine. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, let's talk. Well, we'll get the business part out of the way, the weather. And
okay.
As I said, I don't know if you were listening. I've always admired you because you weren't that guy that when there was some tornadic activity perhaps moving through the area, you had your sleeves, your jacket off and your sleeves rolled up as if you were going to put a headlock on one. So
you
I've always appreciated that.
Thank you so much for your kind comments. That
and the fact that when the weather, when it was predicted and it didn't turn out that way, we would be in like ultra super storm mode or whatever you want to call it. And the next day, you know, we had some sprinkles. You weren't that guy that was blaming somebody else and kicking the can down the road. So I've always appreciated that.
Or complaining that the models were wrong.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, the European model.
It is your job to do this.
Yeah, we were going with the European model when we should have been going with the Belgian model or the
actually they shouldn't have been going with any of them.
Exactly.
Forecast first.
That's it.
Yeah, I had a general manager the first time I did that, which was fairly right out of the chute. In my career. So it would have been back in the mid to late 70s. And I went on the air and I kind of apologized for a bad forecast, explained what went wrong. And general manager called me into his office right after that show. And he goes, I don't want you ever doing that again. And I said, really? I'm sorry, I got to do it. You know, and I am going to do it again because I'm not going to be right 100% of the time. And I owe it to my audience to say it was wrong. We did kick it. And and hopefully it won't happen again in that same circumstance. And he was like, okay.
You'll never make it in this
go
business.
Ahead. Kid, no. He said, it. Okay, if that's what you're going to do, then go ahead and do it.
And that was the last time you got messed with.
No, I got messed with plenty, but I was extremely lucky in my career to have news directors and general managers who kind of understood what I did and how I did it. And they kind of left me alone. And that was really good.
That is really good in this business.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially.
Yes.
I remember Pat Sajak when I was in college, he used to do the weather in Nashville and he would do it playing a guitar.
I'm serious. Come on.
He would play the guitar and do the weather. There's a cold front coming in. And he was like, what in the hell is going on
here? I never had to do that.
Yeah, well, see, you there was no shtick to you.
Who is this guy, a game show host?
Yeah. Well. Who does he think he is? Exactly. So, but we have seen people in your profession that have taken it one step beyond just giving us the forecast.
Right. And you know, if you said that wasn't my shtick, it wasn't my shtick. And why I was hired right out of graduate school at Channel 5 was my first job in 1976, is that I was a meteorologist and I wanted to do the weather. I wanted to forecast the weather and let folks know about it. And again, luckily I had a program director named Keith Gunther. And he said, that's exactly what we're looking for. And he said, go at it, go for it now. What do you need?
All right, so here's a question for you. What if, you know, people have found meteorology to be something that's intriguing. There's a lot of good schools around the country that provide that course.
Sure.
What are some of the things as a meteorologist? Because I'm sure when you go to the holiday party, everybody wants to come up to you and talk to you as if they actually know what the hell they're talking about. So what are some of the things that are real about meteorology? And then what are some of the things that are more myths than anything else?
Well, one thing is everybody does want to talk about the weather. So that that kind of makes my life easy because it opens a conversation up very quickly. You know, I think the biggest thing is that, the myth of the computer models today, which just drives me crazy. you know, there's about 20 of them. You can look at 20 different solutions is what I call them. But if you haven't done the forecast first, the purpose of the models is to give you guidance, not guidance in making the forecast, but you make the forecast and then you look at the models to try to find one that verifies your forecast. Hmm. And if you don't, then you need to go back and look at stuff again. You just don't ride with the models. And too many people today, in fact, almost everybody is just like, okay, well, this is what the model says. No, you know, then a monkey can do it. And that's not forecasting. That's just not forecasting at all. A great example of this, and you can ask my wife because it drove me crazy. going into the holiday week, it was last week, like on a Thursday or a Friday, so pretty far advanced. And the network news is we're making this big thing about this big storm that was going to impact all kinds of travel, especially across the Great Lakes in the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic states. And it was going to be terrible. And it was just going to be awful. And I looked at my wife and I said, okay, somebody has seen a computer model and I knew which one it was and they jumped on it. And I have an old saying in this business that if you live by the model, you are going to die by the model.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. The next day, they backed off just slightly. The next week, Monday, it was like they didn't even talk about the weather affecting travel.
Weather?
It was
what
like
weather?
They brushed it right under the carpet. And it was like, you can't do it. You can't jump on a computer model and say, that's exactly what's going to happen. Because it's not what's going to happen. It's going to flip around all the time.
So
that's my big beef.
Good enough.
And I'm sure part of it reflects society. We see it in the news. We even see it in our line of the business, in sports. Everything's got to be the greatest thing of all time or the worst thing of all time.
Yep, and it's got to be first. You've got to be first with the information.
And it's one of the reasons that we've always liked you, and I've been listening to you with Dave forever and
since
watching
we were kids.
Well, Maybe almost. Not that. Almost.
Now, but now you're really making me feel old.
But to be,
I just had a birthday and I, you know, I just hit 68. So I.
Well, you don't look it.
No.
Well, I thank you for that. There are days I do.
And some other days you feel it. So you got that working.
Oh, absolutely.
For you.
And so the thing is, not buying into that kind of push that, you know, today's weather, there's a national weather guy that his breathless manner makes every single weathercast feel like it's the biggest freaking deal of all time. And they start to wear me out, but I guess that's the way we're delivering news and weather and sports these days.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. And we all know what the problem is that it almost goes back to crying wolf.
Yeah.
You can't do that every time mm-hmm. because when it is important and you really do think something big is going to happen, and there it is.
Absolutely.
That's what you said last week and the week before that and the week before that. So, you know, make sure your forecasting is right on the money and then go with it.
All right.
Oh, I got a question about my perception of weather. Another buddy of mine, he's big into sports guy, but big into weather and all those kinds of things. And, boy, it's really hot. And I go, you know, it's really the humidity. And then I'm thinking, is it humid? Because I like dry weather. But
okay.
So I live in the wrong place, obviously.
Yeah.
Is it really the humidity or is it the dew point that makes me feel damp?
It's both. It is both. One is the dew point is a true measurement of the amount of moisture in the air. Humidity is the full name is relative humidity.
Yeah.
So it's relative to the air mass. So in the wintertime versus the summertime, your atmosphere can hold a lot more moisture than it can in the wintertime. So the relative humidity numbers can be a little misleading, but the dew point numbers are never misleading. They tell you exactly what's going on because you could have a hardcore St. Louis summer day, tons of humidity, and you say, oh man, it is so humid outside. And you look at the humidity and it's like 34-35%. Well, that's because the atmosphere can hold a lot of water. In contrast, though, your dew point temperature is probably 75, 76, 77, which is like a wet washcloth. So it's a really important number, and farmers know this and gardeners know this. They use the dew point all the time.
I can't wait to go to a holiday party with him, stand in the corner.
That'd
be really impressive when I.
But that's one of the reasons I like it out west. And
yeah.
my wife, like when we go to Colorado, she says, "Oh, I love going out there." And I go, "Yeah, me too. The mountains and blah." Well, no, my hair's good.
Something I don't worry about anymore. I can go anywhere; and it'll be all good. Hey, Dave, we're out of time. Hey, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have a chance to visit with you today. And
well, my pleasure, too. I actually really enjoyed it. So there are times with Glover I don't enjoy it.
Hey, well, when you're having one of those moments, just give us a call and we'll give you a big phone hug and we'll make it all good for you.
You got it.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care,
guys.
All right, Dave Murray. He's the best.
He is very good.
We didn't even talk about what the fair forecast is going to be for the rest of the week. We'll figure it out.
It doesn't matter.
All right, we're going to take a break for the news. Coming up in just a bit, Jeff Rainford is going to tell us how we can get our money, $550 million plus, from the Rams deal. And we'll find out who's going to do what after we get this break for the news. Here we go. It's 4:36. Excuse me, folks. Jeff Rainford scheduled a visit with us any minute. Bob, we haven't talked sports all day.
Right.
But we do want to remind Billiken fans that tonight, St. Louis U men's soccer back in action against Duke.
Sweet 16, I think everybody just kind of uses that phrase for basketball, but the Final 16, they're playing at Duke in about an hour and a half. And Kevin Kalish really hasn't played well. Seems like they play better each and every game. And they'll need it tonight at Duke. And get past that, Elite Eight, I think anything's possible.
I agree. And I think we've already seen it in the tournament. When you think about Long Island knocked off Maryland.
Right.
You know, nobody saw that coming. And
right.
Then they came in here. And, you know, 4-0, from what I understand, wasn't even indicative of how much St. Louis U outplayed Long Island. So, did we get him yet?
And I think Kalish, and not to get too deep into soccer, but for SLU soccer, had four ties. Undefeated, but had four ties. couple of those go your way, and they're probably a well, they're 10th seed now.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably a top four, top six seed, and but you know that's the way it played out, and now they've got the opportunity in front of them.
Well, good luck to them tonight. Missouri and Arkansas are still taking on each other, and Missouri trailing 10-6. They're in the third quarter, so we'll keep you posted on that as well. We're going to make connections with Jeff Rainford here any minute, and we'll talk with him about where this money's going. As we're getting him lined up now.
You know, Mike, I got to be upfront and honest about it. When there was first talk of a lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was foolishness. I thought it was ridiculous. Why even make the effort? Grandstand play by some local lawyers. But they felt like I got to give them all the credit
they
in the world.
I just
did not believe that our town could produce the guys that could take on the NFL and win.
Well, they did. Let's go to the Quiver River Electric Cooperative guest line. And Jeff Rainford standing by, former KMOX alum. Jeff, how are you, man?
Hey, Jeff.
I'm doing great. MIZ, guys.
ZOU. They need some help right now. But you know what? It's 10-6. They got a shot. They got a real shot.
They got a shot. Yep.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about what's taking place in St. Louis. Obviously, the settlement takes place. St. Louis getting $790 million. The attorneys are going to get a piece of that action, and deservedly so, I might add. And St. Louis County, and the other operation that's part of this whole situation is going to have to figure out how to split up this money. So question for you, what's the next step? I know they're supposed to meet next week. But how's this thing going to shake out, and who's going to determine who gets what?
So my understanding is it's not written down anywhere which of the three Uh-oh. Plaintiffs get anything, and they have to meet to sort of figure that out. And the third entity does matter, because the third entity is the Regional Sports and Convention Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things, they are the landlord and owner of the Dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all know in about 4 or 5 years, there'll be no money to take care of the Dome and no money to tear it down. So yeah, it's going to be defunct. So I would hope that the Dome is somewhere in the middle of it. But what people need to know about the RSA is that I believe it is five of the members are appointed by the governor, three by the county executive, and three by the mayor. So the state of Missouri and the governor are a player in this thing, too. But because the RSA is a plaintiff to this thing, you would think that the state would have some interest in this money going into the Dome, because it's a partial owner of the Dome. Conversely, St. Louis County is an interesting plaintiff. Because as you remember, and I have nothing against St. Louis County, I support St. Louis County, but just as a matter of fact, they didn't put any money into the stadium deal
right.
that Dave Peacock
That's
and
right.
the task force
yeah.
put together. So while they are a plaintiff, Steve Stenger, who was then the county executive, I remember the conversations, flat out refused to take part in it, and some people thought that was the death knell of the whole thing. So
mm-hmm.
it is complicated. There is, as you pointed out, there is no straight way to it. There's nothing written down, and they're going to have to all sit down and figure it out. But, you know, the RSA is going to play a big role in this. And the Dome is sort of at, to me, should be at the center of all of this. But, you know, as you pointed out, there's no sure thing here.
So Jeff Rainford, this thing could take a while. I mean, if you've got three groups, it's not in writing. They're creating it from whole cloth as to who gets what. It could take a while.
Well, it will take a while. And I actually am kind of hoping they get stymied as far if they start out. I know where they probably will start out with, all right, I'm in the city, I should get this much. I'm the RSA, I should get this much. And I'm the county and I get this much. I hope it doesn't come down to that. I hope they get stymied. And eventually what happens is they say, we're all going to leave this $500 million in one pot, and we're going to invest it in something game-changing rather than, uh-huh. first of all, split it into three jurisdictions and then have them split it 10 different ways. And 5 years from now, it's like we never even had the money.
Yeah.
To me, a big part of this was, you know, and I said this the other day, David versus Goliath, you know, nobody gave us a chance to put a stadium deal together, and I was part of the task force with Peacock. We had everybody working against us. The conservatives in Jeff City were against us. The comptroller was against us. The progressives in St. Louis were against us. The press was largely not particularly favorable. And then the NFL front office was against it. And through all those odds, Dave Peacock and his team were able to pull together a viable, financeable stadium plan, which nobody thought they could. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as you guys were talking about, when the suit was filed, and nationally we were pretty much ignored, and then locally it was kind of poo-pooed, and yet we have produced this result. We have done one thing that has never been done before. A city that was jilted by a professional sports team successfully stood up for itself, successfully sued, and won a major judgment. That is a source of pride to me, and it would be a crying shame if after we have that source of pride, we end up blowing this money, and 5 years from now, it's like we never got it. That would be a shame.
Well, I've already kind of come to the conclusion that we may not need as many chairs in the room, because if the county didn't have any skin in the game, I'm going to ask him, hey, can you wait outside while
we'll
let you know where you stand on this. I look over at Sam Payne. Sam, what are you doing? What do you need? what do you need? You lost?
Like I said, I hope they all come together.
Yeah.
And like I will give you one idea I have, and there are other people in the business community feel the same way. You know, our downtown is I'm going to be nice about it, is not headed in the right direction from a crime and vacancy standpoint and all that. The convention center is old and uncompetitive. We have a plan to fix it up, which won't go nearly far enough. In 4 years, there'll be no money to take care of the dome. And if they're short-sighted and let that thing go to defunct, we're going to have this giant monument to St. Louis failure in the middle of downtown. I hope the three parties come together and decide they're going to focus on creating a really exciting convention center district. And then I'm not the expert on what you do with the dome, but they do something. You either fix it up and use it, or you tear it down and replace it. That's not really my thing. But that's where all three of those parties, because the RSA owns the dome, so the state has an interest in it. That's where and the county and the city make the appointments to the Convention and Visitors Commission. It's a place where all three of them could come together and make a 30-year game changer by fixing up and creating a really national class convention center district, do something with the dome, and hopefully, you know, give a really good jolt to downtown.
You know, Jeff, that's so right, because I'll admit, as soon as I heard the numbers, I kind of fell into, okay, how are we going to spend it? But you're talking about investing, not spending.
Correct.
And hopefully they will get the difference in the concept and look for investment.
I agree. I mean, if we had built this stadium, the idea was to keep the Rams here at least for another 30 years, to create a magnificent stadium on the riverfront, which, you know, would have, I believe, would have led to additional investment on our riverfront, which other than the arch is really nothing right now.
Yeah.
And it would have created jobs. And also for 30 years, we would have had a National Football League team, which is an incredibly, you know, I don't like the owners, but I do love the sport. It's a great amenity to have for your community. It was a 30-year investment. And it seems to me the right move here is to make a big 30-year investment that 20 years from now we're looking at it and going, man, those folks really knew what they were doing, versus let's write everybody $100 checks and 5 years from now the money's all gone.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. So here's the question. When I look at the people who are making this decision, who do you think will be in the room making this decision, and where will they draw information from as far as actually understanding what, as you allude to, the bigger picture of things? Because you'll have some that thinks, well, maybe we can add a few more trash cans and do this and do this is bigger than that. So who's going to be at the table when this thing takes place?
Well, by nature of who the plaintiffs are, it will be the governor, because again, the RSA, he's got five appointments on the RSA. It'd be the governor, the mayor, and the county executive will come together. Then you have, in order to spend the money, if you did it outside, if the city or the county, the money actually went through their fingers, the county council and the board of aldermen have to be involved. So they have to be involved in it because, you know, they were the plaintiffs. But I believe that this is a point where the business community, particularly maybe the hospitality industry, but not just the hospitality industry, and maybe organized labor has to stand up. Because we're at a point in our politics where, you know, everything is our national politics, and you're either a Trumper or you're a woke person, and we got to keep all of that out of these decisions. This can't be about politics and fulfilling woke dreams or Trump dreams here. We got to make an investment in St. Louis, and it's not like, you know, and I love St. Louis. I grew up here. I still live here. I love the place, but it's not like we're flying high at the moment, and we've got this is not going to be the kind of thing where we're going to all of a sudden, you know, become Nashville overnight or or some of the other places. But this can be a thing that can at least put, you know, our downtown, or if we were to focus it, for instance, on the National Geospatial Agency up in North St. Louis, it can be something that could be at least a modest game changer, and something that, you know, previous generations did big things like build the arch, right? Created the zoo, built the art museum, created Forest Park. Other generations did big things. This is our generation's opportunity to do something that 30 years from now, people go, wow, like we're doing today with the arch. That was an amazing thing they did. I hope we don't blow it.
You know, the other thing that we haven't talked about, the infrastructure money that'll be coming to this area as well. What, $500 million there? So we're looking at maybe $1 billion that's going to be available to this community over the next few years. And I agree with you, man. To stand here 5 years later and not have a dime to show for it would just it would almost sum up where St. Louis is what it is today.
Well, it would, and I'm not ready to throw in the towel because we just won the other day. I do want to say as a source of pride, a lot of people, nobody nationally, when I was in the middle of this because I worked as a volunteer with Peacock on the task force, and when the NFL turned around and 15 minutes after the relocation committee voted one way, flipped it around, the national media, it was like we didn't even exist to the NFL or to the national sports press.
Right.
And by winning this thing with $795 million, we're now saying, hey, we're not just a bunch of hayseeds and flyover country. You know, we do matter here. And I hope that, you know, we think about that as we decide what to do with the money so that we're not 5 years from now, the national people are like, well, we told you they were hayseeds. They won this big judgment. Now all the money's gone. So as a source of pride, we stood up to the NFL, and as I said before, we're the only city that has stood up to a professional sports league and won, and we won big, and that's a source of pride, but it will become a source of shame if we don't do this right.
And real quick, Jeff Rainford, kind of a step back. There's a lot of folks wondering why the settlement now. Give me your thoughts on the timing of it and why not go to trial, and while it was the smart move to take this amount now.
Right. So the way it worked was the judge asked both parties to submit to mediation as a last ditch before a trial. And so the parties, both parties, the city, the county, and the RSA, and the NFL and the Rams, submitted to mediation, and they agreed to this. If we did not agree to this, the next step was a trial. There is, you know, I guess you could settle a trial, or you can actually settle. I'm not a lawyer, but I think you can settle any time, including after the plaintiff puts on its case. But all intents and purposes, if we had said no to this, now we're going to go to trial. My view of it is at trial, I know what happened. I know what the NFL did. I suspect I know what the NFL said in their emails and other things. I'm completely convinced we would have won a trial. However, some people's expectations on what the damages were, I think, were really super unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the LA Times were talking about, well, maybe the damages are the equivalent of the value of the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm like, you know, I would love it to be, because that's like $6 billion. But that's, we were the city of St. Louis. We were the hometown of a team. We were not the owner of the team. So we would have had to demonstrate damages. And while maybe we could have demonstrated damage greater than $790 million, I could not see how we were going to demonstrate damages of $2 billion or other crazy numbers people were. But the other thing is, you never know what's going to happen in an appeal. I felt really good we were going to do well at trial, but on appeal, which, by the way, can take forever, you never know what you could get. And so could we have rolled the dice here? Yes. But I support this because when we first started, you guys talked about kind of what you were thinking when you first started.
Right.
When I first started, all I wanted was the truth to come out and us to get our $17 million back. I never dreamed we would get this amount of money.
Jeff Rainford, as always, it's great to visit with you, and thank you so much for shedding some light on one of the most interesting situations we've ever encountered in our lifetime here in St. Louis. Let's just hope we can continue to be on a roll and do the right thing with this money that's coming to St. Louis.
Well, let me say, I am big fans of both of you, and you are one reason why we are the best, or two reasons, I should say, why we are the best sports town in St. Louis. You guys are great at what you do. I love listening to Bob, you do SLU, and Mike, you do Cardinal baseball. You guys are great.
Well, we just show up looking to have a good time, Jeff. That's all we're here for, man. Nothing else. But we appreciate the kind words, man. Our best, and may you have some safe holidays, and hopefully we'll pass up each other or run into each other here in the very near future.
Sounds good, boys. I appreciate it.
Take Great care. Stuff, Jeff. All Thanks. Right.
Jeff Rainford, right. former chief of staff for the mayor of St. Louis, Francis Slay. Missouri's having a little problem here. We'll come back and tell you about that after we take this time out on KMOX. This will be a short segment as we get set for the news at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about what we want to do with the money after we take care of everybody else. But I also want to talk about...
Take care of everybody else.
Who? You know what? You're right. Don't worry about them. There's other things that'll come their way. I'm not worried about them. They'll figure it out on their own. But, you know, I want to talk about some of the things during the whole trial and all the misinformation. And I think media-wise, I think we were kind of guilty of some things that were being circulated that had no chance to fly. And I know people were like, well, we should have held off for more money. But we'll get into that in the next hour.
That's why I wanted to ask Jeff about that. Yeah.
Because he's the expert. He was there on ground level when this thing first started to unfold. So we'll have a chance to talk at length about that. And, of course, you can join us at 436-7900 and give us your texting thoughts on that. I know some of you guys are still sitting on a parking lot where you're significant about to, you know, pull your hair out. So you can just hang out with us. We'll get you home, man, because you got to eat
Our
tonight.
Fantasy world
exactly.
here.
Exactly. You got to eat tonight, and I guarantee you're going to want something else other than the turkey. So we'll have a chance to talk about that and a few other things. Stand by. Dave Glover Show. Hour number four is just around the corner on Your Voice for the Cardinals and the St. Louis University Billikens, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.